Amen, amen. Thank you, Pam. How's everybody doing today? God is good, isn't he? So last thing, I just want a reminder, a final announcement. Friday, November 15th at 6 p.m. here at the church. We're having a married couples for those who are going to be getting married. Catered dinner here. And so it's going to be fun. It's going to be impactful. And man, I don't want you to miss it. It'll be $45, which that's cheap. The church is going to subsidize a little bit. We don't want anybody to miss that. If you can't afford that $45, don't let that keep you away from enjoying that evening on November 15th. And then after that, you know, it's going to be a great time for couples. Like I said, it's going to be fun. I can't wait. It's going to be so fun that we're going to be doing it every year. And so then we can get the holidays kicked off after that. And then pray. I know we want to get something going for the singles, so we're just trying to get some traction in there. So pray about that, because I don't want to forget about the singles. I'm not saying that, you know, forgetting. So we want to get some traction there for a singles ministry. Amen? Amen. So yeah, so that married couples, or if you're going to be getting married, sign up for that. Pay the $45. What you do is you, in one of the envelopes in the seat back in front of you, just put, you know, write a check or cash, and then earmark it, put your name, and earmark it that's what it's for. So we know that we've already got some individuals who paid for that, so we're going to keep track of that. Doesn't that sound fun? Sound awesome? Praise God. So, what's that? By November 1st, we really need the money. Thank you, Gina. Amen. So me and Gina went to a pastor's or minister's conference this past week in Woodland Park, Colorado, which is just outside Colorado Springs at Andrew Walmick's Ministries. And it's at like an 8,500 foot elevation. It's amazing. And it was really, really powerful and impactful. And I don't want to spend too much time there, but I just want to say that trying to think of that theme that was on there, live your life unto death, I think is what it was on. So it was just live your life unto death, meaning living in this time and age and era that we live in, just having this heart attitude, Lord, that I'm all in for you, man. I see what's going on in the world today, Lord Jesus, and I'm all in for you, Lord. I belong to you. Live your life unto death. And they had this amazing professional, what you call it, a play, what do you call it? Production. It wasn't a play, a production. And I just want to say this, that it was about the last 3 days of Apostle Paul's life. Now we know, we're not for sure know what happened, but we think through church history that he was beheaded in Rome. And so and I think you can see this online probably. We'll get a name for it. It's what the production is called, so you could see it online. To Die is Gain is what it's called. To Die is Gain. That's what it was called. It was powerful. And so it just taught, you know, just had this situation where it shows kind of going through Paul's, him kind of, he's in prison, and he's with a group of other believers in prison, and they're concerned and they're scared because of what's going on in society. And Paul just kind of, they're giving scriptures of the things that Paul has said through his epistles, through his, you know, all the epistles that he wrote. So he's encouraging them. And then he goes back and he kind of talks about, hey, I remember when I was there, when Stephen was martyred. And he says, I was there. And it talks about where he says, man, that really had an impact on me because of, you know, his attitude and heart. I believe it did have an impact on Paul the Apostle. So by the time he was thrown off his horse and a voice came down saying, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He's persecuting the church. And did you notice that he said, why are you persecuting me, is what Jesus said to him. And so they go through this thing, and I won't say anymore. It's just that he says, hey, when I die, man, the first person I want to see is Stephen. I was there. And so just the impact that it had, all the people talking about the power of God, what he's doing in America, and then just, you know, God awakening America and us having this heart that says, Lord, I'm all in of what you want to do. Doesn't matter if you're 85 or 15 or 12 or 35 or 45, man, just having a heart saying, Lord, I'm all in of what you have for me in this day and age, that you could move and shake. There's a shaking going on right now, Lord, that you will awaken people to Jesus Christ. I believe that he's coming again soon, don't you? And so why he's not here, I know I'm here on earth saying, Lord, I am yours to command, whatever you want me to do. Even in the middle of making a living, amen, I love making a living. I love making a good living. And I love being giving to the Lord and giving to his purposes. I love being generous, amen. And so one thing I know is I can't take any of it with me anyway, right? Did you know that? So I want to make sure every part of me has an impact in the kingdom of God. You know, I want to pray for Israel this morning. You know, Psalms 122, 1 through 2 says this, I was glad when they said to me, this psalm was written by King David. He says, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been around for a very long time, hasn't it? Thousands of years. And then it says in Psalms 122, 6, just going down a couple verses, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. You know, I've been seeing, this is amazing. Let me just say this, man. There is no doubt that God is with his people in Israel. Amen. There may be a lot of people that don't know Christ in Israel, in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, but there's coming a day, I believe, what Paul had said in the book of Romans, that the full number of the Gentiles shall come in, and then he says, not sure exactly what it means, but it says, then all of Israel shall be saved. Even during the time where Paul was heavily persecuted by his own people, you know, nobody persecuted Paul more than his own people, but yet he said this, man, he says, I would give up my salvation if my brothers and sisters, the Israel in the natural, would come to the Lord. Amen. The heart that he had. And so it's amazing to see what I was reading about, where Hamas which is in Palestine, has like 16 regiments of soldiers, and that 15 of them have been destroyed. Now, what I'm saying here is, let me just say this. I know that there's people in Palestine, God and Jesus loves all people. But when you have a mindset there, if you have a mindset there that when a good portion of the people and those that are in charge hate Israel and they won't stop, the only time they're going to stop is if Israel was destroyed, and that's not going to happen. Israel will not be destroyed. But 15 of 16 regiments, I read, of soldiers of Hamas have been destroyed. I mean, God is making a statement. But he loves all people. But let me tell you, with the enemies of God, God will do what he wants with those people. And so 15 of 16 regiments being destroyed. How about Hezbollah and Lebanon? Basically, all the leadership of Hezbollah has completely been destroyed. And so if you understand that Israel wants to live at peace with all their neighbors. But when you have Hezbollah firing rockets nonstop into Israel, and you got the rest of the world saying, don't respond, don't do anything. Anti-Semitism. You know, since last year, that attack in Israel, the anniversary is coming up tomorrow. Just in the United States alone, I was reading, anti-Semitic violence has increased 200%, even in our own country. You know, that's Satan. That's the enemy. That's the voice of the dragon. See, he tried to get rid of Israel during World War II. The enemy has mustered his armies, working through people again, to try to get rid of Israel again, but it ain't going to happen. There's not going to be another 6 million, I believe this with all my heart, there's not going to be another 6 million people in Israel dying. This year, God is going to be their protection. What do I say this in praying for them? You got Iran, which is ancient Persia. You got Turkey. You've got all these countries coming together whose main focus is to destroy Israel, not just get rid of them, but destroy them. Why? You ever wonder why is there this unnatural hate for Israel? Anti-Semitism growing throughout the world. Man, this is what I think we're coming towards the end times. Amen. Satan knows, but his time is short. But God is going to protect his people, Israel. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing I've come to realize in the Word of God. It doesn't matter if nobody prays for Israel. They are precious in his sight. He's going to restore them. Amen. They may be the natural Israel, we're a spiritual Israel, but the natural Israel is going to be coming to Christ. When, we don't know. But I know this, that they're having supernatural strength and ability to put a whipping on their enemy. That's all I know. And that comes from the Lord. For them to come into existence since 1947, come on. This is supernatural. Shows me that when you have all these countries around them that want to destroy them, they would destroy them right now if they could, but they can't. God has strengthened Israel. And so with that, Lord, we pray for the peace of Israel. We thank you for your hand upon them. Lord, thank you for blessing Israel. Thank you for your protection, Father. God, Lord, we see that we're in end times. Lord, thank you for bringing people, the people, your Jewish people. Lord, thank you for bringing your people to their Messiah, to Jesus, Yeshua. Thank you for, Lord, opening their eyes. Thank you, Father, for a great revival. Father God, not only that you're having right now in Iran and these different countries, Father God, are surrounding Israel, Lord, that you're bringing people to you, but Lord, thank you for blessing Israel. Lord, we acknowledge that they are your people. We acknowledge that the people, Lord, that you said that they would be scattered and that you would bring them back and they would be there forever. Lord, we know that you're coming back again and putting a foot, one of your foot's going to be on the Mount of Olives, Lord. We know that you're coming back. And so with that, Lord, we bless you, we honor you, and we praise you, Father God. Lord, thank you for your blessing upon your people in that area, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for opening eyes, Lord, as we see anti-Semitic behavior around this whole world, even in the United States, like I would have never thought we would see, Lord. Lord, to me, it's a sign that your return is coming soon, Lord Jesus. Thank you for us, your people, being alert and awake in this day and age. Thank you for protecting your people, Father God. Thank you for providing all our needs according to your riches and glory. Father, thank you that we have a life that's committed to you. Lord, thank you for stirring your people in America, the church in America, coming alive for Jesus Christ, for righteousness and truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we belong to you. Father, thank you that we're safe in you and that we're not to be fearful, Lord, but that you have us, Father God, that you're our rear guard, Father God, that you're leading us by your voice, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we belong to you. Lord, thank you for a day and age where you're adding to your church, Father. Thank you for waking people up, Father God, to know that you truly are the Messiah and that you're returning soon, Father God. Till then, Lord, we thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for those who need strength today here. Father, thank you for speaking to hearts of those here who need strength today. Lord, thank you for the power of the Word of God strengthening your people today. Father God, with the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. Do you love him? Amen and amen. And talking about strength, and so, Lord, I'm just going to, this morning, I just went a totally different direction and went right to Daniel chapter 10. So, Lord, thank you for vetting that out for us this morning. Daniel chapter 10. So I don't know how far we're going to get through it, but as we begin to, here's the thing, as I begin to speak through on this, and the Lord started speaking to me about strength. But, you know, not like what we realize, we think of strength, if you go into the dictionary and look up strength, it's everything to do with, you know, I'm strong. I've got strength, vitality, and of course, we want all, I believe, in vitality and strength and mental strength and ability. But understand this, as I was reading this, that God's strength that in our lives isn't always dependent or look like the strength of the world. Did you know that? Look at Paul in chapter 11, I believe it's chapter 11 or chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. He says, man, I've got all these things coming against me, and I'm weak. I feel weak. He says, matter of fact, the things that have been happening to me, which describe the chapter before, he talks about everything that he went through, everything that his own countrymen put him through, all the jail times, all the beatings, the shipwrecks. I mean, he goes through even being stoned, all these things, he says, that keep happening to him. And even says after that in chapter 11, as he details all these things that happened to him, he says, but in my weakness, I will boast. And then the next chapter, he starts talking about having the thorn of this flesh, which I think is all the things that were buffeting him. All the things that are buffeting him. And he said, I took this to the Lord three times and said, Lord, you got to help me here. And what did the Lord said to him? He says, my weakness is perfected as I am your strength. My grace is sufficient for thee. Three times the Lord gave him the same answer. Maybe the first time he heard that, and the Lord says, hey, you know, your strength is perfected. You're going to be perfected even through that weakness. And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. And he thought, well, he heard that the first time. And maybe he goes the second time. He says, well, maybe I didn't hear him right. Maybe that was my imagination. And so he goes to him and praying and seeking him. And the Lord again says, hey, my strength is perfected even in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. That's number two. He says, well, maybe I still didn't hear him right. Or maybe it's a little while longer. Maybe it's some time went by, and he says, I'm going to go to him a third time. Lord, help me in these weaknesses. Lord, whatever the things that were going on. He says, Lord, help me. The Lord gives him the same answer. And so what I want to say is as we begin to go into this, that and looking at strength, sometimes even this, it's just a simple thing like this. I go to Colorado, I'm there all week, it's 8,500 foot elevation. I've been there, I went there 3 years ago and I was fine. I go there this time and I can't breathe. And so I'm like, I don't know what's going on, so I'm just praying in the spirit, I'm just praying. I'm like, man, is this attack of the enemy? Is this just the elevation? I know it's not because I'm getting older. I know that's not the case. I'm feeling good. But then that's when the Lord, during that time, that's when the Lord's saying, you have a perspective of what my strength looks like that's too much like the world's perspective. It's too much like the dictionary.com or the Webster's Dictionary. You can look at that and you can get that definition of what strength looks like. And Chad, that's my definition of strength. Let me just encourage you today, as I haven't even started in my notes. What's strength look like to you? Man, we can compare to our strength. We can look at strength of everything. We can look at social media. I know none of us do that. We can look at TikTok. I'm just throwing things out there that I'm not aware of too much. Whether it be Facebook, Instagram. But we can see things that are pictures, that put pictures in our minds of what strength look like, what happiness or joy should look like, what it could or should look like for me. Or we can start thinking, this is what it's going to look like for me when my ship comes in. Amen. But the Lord began to speak to me and says, Chad, your definition of strength is not my definition of strength. Let me just say this, that you might be in a time of weakness today, or some weakness, some struggles. And you've been crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, help me in this area. Let me just say this. Number one, he knows. Paul went through him three times and said, come on, Lord. This is kind of ridiculous. The things that I'm going through, the things that are bringing great weakness into my life. For Paul was like, man, Lord, I'm here in jail. I'm here in prison. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. And I have other ministers out there saying if Paul really was all that, if he was really a powerful man in God, he wouldn't be spending his time in prison. So what looked like weakness, because Paul's sitting in prison, he's sitting there writing about two-thirds of his epistles from prison that's going to be go around the world for the next 2,000 years and bring strength to other people. His weakness and what was conceived and looked like weakness was actually what's bringing strength in you, to you and I today. man, your weakness, things that you might be going through. This is what I've come to realize as I was dealing with this huffing and puffing. Can't breathe, trying to breathe. And me and my wife are praying. It's like, I think my heart's okay. I should be. And that's when during that time, the Lord began to speak to me about, Lord, what's strength look like to you, Chad? Let me ask this church, let me ask Family Church today, what's strength look like to you? I know the Lord wants to change our perception of what strength looks like. Maybe there's some areas where you feel very weak, but you know what I know? Here's the thing with weakness. We have to lean into the Lord. I said we have to lean into the Lord. You have to lean into Him. See, when we're in our own strength, and a lot of times we're saying, Lord, if I can get past, you might even be struggling this, I believe in healing 100%, and there, you might be struggling still in your body praying, Lord, thank you for your healing. This is what I encourage you to do, is lean into Him. Say, Lord, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave me nor forsake me, Lord. Thank you that you're speaking and talking to me. Lord, thank you that by faith I know you're still with me and you see what I'm struggling with. Thank you, Lord, that my healing is still coming. But, Lord, until then, I'm going to worship and honor you and praise you and know that you haven't gone anywhere. You're still with me. Hallelujah. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And in the time of certain areas of weakness in our lives, God said, bury and lean into me. I want to speak to you. I want your focus to be on me. I'll never leave you. I want to strengthen you. I want to show you true strength of my Holy Spirit working through you in a powerful, powerful way. Paul in the prisons, can you imagine? Not just prisons, sometimes the deepest, darkest prisons, chained. Look, I don't want to be in prison. That doesn't sound like any fun. He's not there for any laws he's broken. He hasn't done anything there. Yes, he said, he would say, if you read his letters over and over, he's saying, he said, hey, don't be ashamed of my chains. He's saying, don't be ashamed of my weaknesses. Man, let it encourage you that God is with you. He says, listen to my letters, the things that I'm saying in Philippians as an example, saying that the joy of the Lord is your strength. When he wrote that, he was in prison. So look at maybe some things that you might have your focus. Lord, I'm having some struggles in this area. Man, I'm having some weaknesses in this area. And this is what you do. This is what I've learned as the Lord spoke to me, is saying, Lord, how can I operate in your supernatural strength during this time? Lord, how can I still be a benefit to others when I, and then take my focus off of those weaknesses, take those focuses off of that, bury into him and say, Lord Jesus, I know that you're going to work in this area, whatever that area might be. Employment, it could be a weakness, something going on in your employment that's driving you nuts. That's got you downcast. There might be something there that's got you downcast. It's a perfect time to bury in him and say, Lord, there's some things going on here. Lord, speak to me. Mature me, grow me in you. Lord, I want to have the joy of the Lord to be my strength during this time of weakness. Lord, I don't want to look at dictionary.com or the Webster's dictionary and look up strength and say, okay, that must be what godly strength looks like. Maybe say to you and present to you today that actually God's strength, take that strength definition in the dictionary, flip it upside down, and maybe God's strength looks opposite of what we read or see in the world. Good preaching, Chad. That's good preaching. That's good preaching. I said, that's good preaching. So when I couldn't breathe up there, I still have a little trouble. To be honest, is I just felt like did what the Lord said. I just started focusing and worshiping him. Saying, Lord, I don't know what this breathing thing is. Where did this come from? I'm happy and healthy. Instead of just focusing on that, just that little bit of discomfort. I like what Todd White said when we were up there in this pastor's conference. He says, you got to experience a little discomfort to experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I said, sometimes you got to experience a little discomfort to experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Man, he's here with us. You know, so many people look at their weaknesses that they say, I can't possibly be used by God. or I can never see the end of this scenario or this situation that I'm going through. Let me just say this. I'm going to say this again, maybe 10 different ways. God's still with you. He still loves you. He hasn't forsaken you. He's doing something in you that's your, if you'll get close to him, say, Lord, speak to me. Give me your supernatural strength and your ability during this time. Lord, I want to, Father God, I want to press into you. And Lord, I want to trust you. I want your supernatural strength. Matter of fact, sometimes when we look at the world's strength and we pursue the world's strength, that I think we forfeit some of the strength that God wants to provide us and work through us supernaturally. How he loves you and I. Let me just say this. It may be an area of where right now where you might be struggling. If you're struggling even in an area that might be, quote, the work of a flesh, an area of sin or a habit, this is what you do. Bury into him. Say, Lord, I'm weak in this area. Lord, I'm weak in this area. What a lot of people do when they're going through a struggle or maybe a bad habit or things are going on is they'll put God at a distance and say, when I take care of this in my own strength, then I'll draw close to you. Here's the opposite. Lord, I'm weak in this area. I'm having a struggle in this area, Lord. Lord, man, I know what I'm in, Lord. I need help, Lord. And you might be in a position of saying, Lord, if I don't get the Lord's help, I don't know where I'm going to end up. Here's a perfect thing. By faith, he loves faith. Bury into him. Say, Lord, I'm gonna trust you. Lord, I have a weak area. Lord, I'm only going to get free from this if you free me. Lord, I'm going to bury into you, Lord, no matter what's going on. No, I don't care what the struggle is. I don't care how dark or sinister it is. Bury into him. Draw close to him. Draw close to his strength and watch him break that over your life. Amen. So as I begin to have trouble breathing and huffing and puffing, and I said, Lord, what's going on here? This is exactly what he said. Bury into me. Sometimes, as an example, that might be a weird analogy, but this little breathing thing, I have no idea what it is. But I know he does. And I know I'm going to bury into him, draw close to him. And that weakness, I'm going to say, Lord, thank you for taking care of that. And during that time, I just say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Show me your goodness. Show me your goodness. Teach me your ways. Show me your paths. Man, when we're at the point in our own weaknesses, those are the times where we have our biggest growing spurts. Is when we say, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I feel like a failure. He's always there. He's there. He's for us. He's not against us. The areas of these things where we might be feeling weak, remind yourself. Here's the voice of the dragon, the enemy. No, he won't. You can't get any help. Sorry. You're too weak. You're too damaged. That's when God says, oh, perfect timing. Don't listen to the voice. What's it say in John chapter 10? It says, my sheep hear my voice. And they run from the voice of the thief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Yeah. Amen. Here's what I noticed during the time during weakness and we start drawing close to the Lord. You notice I keep doing that, huh? Getting close to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm coming in. I'm nuzzling in, Lord. I'm nuzzling. When we have those weaknesses, we have weaknesses in our areas and we draw close to the Lord. What I've noticed is those areas where we might be weak, maybe we put ourselves down, right, in our mind. You ever had these... We go back to habits or whatever. When we are weak and we nuzzle into him, what the Lord does is we start, in that area that keeps us weak, we start to hear his voice. We begin to decipher. I'll get it out. Is that right? I make up words sometimes. Forgive me. Decipher between the enemy's voice and the Lord's voice. So in those areas of a weakness... If when we draw close to Him, those things that kept us in weakness, the enemy's voice, all of a sudden we say, ah, I recognize that. You're the one who, with that voice, is keeping me in this weakness, or keeping me in this struggle. Then we recognize that the voice of the dragon, we recognize that, and then we recognize the voice of the shepherd, amen, the good shepherd. And then we can say to that voice, that voice that's been lying to us in our weakness, when we press into Him, then we can say, no more, I'm not hearing that voice anymore. From now on, I rebuke that voice. So when that voice comes around in that area anymore to keep me buried in the wrong thing, now I'm buried and nuzzled up to the Lord, I hear Your voice, and now I rebuke that voice, and in that area you say, no more. You'll not have victory in that area of my life anymore. I recognize Your voice. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Go bother somebody else, because you're not going to bother me in this area anymore. Amen. So thank You, Lord, for our weaknesses revealing Your goodness, revealing Your strength, revealing Your ability, revealing Your power, revealing Your purpose, revealing Your goodness, revealing Your gentleness, revealing Your peace, amen, revealing Your love, all those things that God's voice and truth want to reveal to us. You know, I'm not going to go much further today. Let's say, can you stand up with me? You're going, man, usually, Chad, you're just getting started. If you can come to the... Thank you, hon. Thank you, Gina. Would the piano player please come? As Gina lightly plays the piano, let's take just a few minutes and allow the Lord to speak to us. Matter of fact, this is what I want to do, and just as an act, and I'm gonna raise my hand, but just as an act, you know, sometimes, you know, faith requires action, right? And so I'm gonna be the first one to lift my hand, but if you have areas where you've been focused on weakness, and the Lord is speaking to you. Amen. Speaking to you, making a correction. Yeah. It's just that simple, just the humility and say, Lord, thank You for revealing. Lord, I've been focused on areas of weakness, and I should not have been. Lord, You're showing me today. Here's the first thing He reveals. He's not going anywhere. Religion says this: get it figured out, and then come back. That's called doing it in your own strength. That is pride. That's arrogance. And that's religion. But the grace of God, for by grace have you been saved through faith. But the grace of God says, Lord, yeah, I'm weak, Lord. I acknowledge that. And Lord, I thank You for speaking in those areas of my life. Lord, thank You for taking those, making beauty out of ashes. Lord, those areas, Lord, that have been maybe detrimental or hanging on, or maybe hurts or past experiences, maybe even deep wounds in your soul. That what I've come to realize is as I draw close and nuzzle into Him, He brings comfort. He brings healing. He brings strength to those areas. And then those areas that used to be your biggest weaknesses will now be the strengths that God's going to use you in. I said those areas that were your weaknesses are going to be the area where God's going to use you at. They're going to become your strength. They're going to become your testimony. They're going to become which God uses you to help others that are in the same boat. It's going to be where you can say, hey, yeah, look what God did in my life. And if you're going through an area of weakness and struggle, whatever it is right now, financially, in a relationship, amen, whatever the situation is, you raise your hand and say, Lord, thank You for being my strength during this time. Thank You for revealing who You are to me. Lord, thank You for the love of God revealing, Father God, Your strength and Your purpose and Your power and Your ability through me. Father, thank You, Father, for speaking to me. Lord, make a decision. Say, Lord, I am not going to allow that area of my life to cripple me anymore. That's actually going to become an area of strength in my life. Areas of maybe you've had struggles financially. Allow the Lord to speak to you there. Allow the Lord to restore you there. Allow the Lord to make that area become a strength in your life for His glory. Maybe an addiction or something. Just press into Him and say, Lord, I need you to speak to me. I need you to show me, Lord, how to be free from this. I need to hear the voice of the enemy, discern between His voice and your voice, Lord, so that I can walk out of that freely. Here's the things I realize. The voice of the enemy is always condemning. It'll never be encouraging. It'll always direct you to your feelings, how you feel. I don't feel strong. It doesn't matter how you feel. Your strength, the just shall live by faith. Those people in Hebrews chapter 11, that hall of faith chapter, and great weakness were strengthened. In areas where they were completely weak, the Lord strengthened them and gave them great victory over armies, over things coming against them. The purpose of God was fulfilled. Every purpose of God was fulfilled in them. Look at Abraham and Sarah. Great weakness. We can't have a child. But he continued to focus on Him in his weakness, focused on him, and because of Abraham in his weakness, in his struggles, in what seemed like could never be changed, here you and I are today, children of Abraham. Children of Abraham. God took a great weakness in Abraham's life, flipped that thing around, and now you and I are children of Abraham. Father, we thank you for strengthening us. Lord, thank you for speaking to hearts this week. Lord, make people in areas where they're weak. Thank you for strengthening them, Lord. Lord, help us not to compare our weaknesses or look at a definition of what the world thinks is strong and compare ourselves to the world. Thank you, Lord, that we're strong and powerful in you, Lord, in your strength, even in our weaknesses. Lord, I bless you. We honor you. We praise you. We exalt you. If you want anybody to agree with you in prayer this morning, I invite you up to come up here. Love to pray with you. But my goal this week, as you wake up tomorrow morning, sometimes Monday morning it can seem like, boy, I'm weak. I pray that tomorrow morning, as soon as you wake up, here's my prayer. The first thing you would hear is something about the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Lord, in my weaknesses, your strength is perfected. Lord, thank you for perfecting those things concerning us. Lord, thank you for blessing your people. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit ministering to your people. Thank you for the power of God ministering to your people. Father, thank you for making us strong in our weaknesses. So, Father, we thank you. And I praise you. Amen. Can we sing this song together and then we'll be dismissed? Hallelujah. Amen. You love him this morning? You love him this morning? Amen.
Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else.